What's better than that? It's a goy. It's a yid who wants to become a goy. I catched a Jew and locked her up in my church, and I'm going to make a goy out of her. Oh, the Duke says, yeah, that's a good one. You caught a good fish there. Oh, that's good. A Jew that wants to become a goy. Oh, but is she a goy yet? No, not yet. But I have an idea. In a few weeks, the biggest of the Golachim is coming to visit my church on a Sunday. In the morning, we'll make a party, and we'll make her into a goy. And in the afternoon, we'll make another party. We'll make the wedding of your son and this girl. First, she'll become a goy. And then she's going to get married to your son. We'll have two parties in one day. And the Duke jumped up and down. Oh, two parties in one day. That sounds like a lot of fun. And so the Duke said, well, what if my son doesn't like her? Okay, Tata says, tomorrow I'll bring her out and they'll meet. We'll have a little party tomorrow. Oh, the Duke says, I like parties. Tomorrow we'll make a party and we'll introduce them together. And if they decide that we want to get married, so then we'll have in a couple of weeks the other big parties. And so the next day, Tadus brings Razel out to the castle of the Duke. And over there was his son. And the son of the Duke was not a bad boy. He was not Jewish, but he was a nice boy. And he wasn't a troublemaker, chas v'shalom. And Razel met with his boy. And they talked, and they decided they liked each other. And they decided, okay, they'll get married. Because Razel was so mixed up, she didn't even know what to think anymore. And so the son of the Duke gave Razel a ring. And this ring was a sign, not that they're married, but they're going to get married. And the ring was made out of gold, and it had a diamond and two letters. The two letters was the first letter of his first name and the first letter of his last name. It's called initials. A gold ring with a diamond and two letters. And he gave it to Razel and put it on her finger. And that was a sign that they were going to get married. Not they were married. And now Tadis took Razel back in the wagon all the way back to the church and locked her up in the fifth floor again. And he says, oh, I can hardly wait for all these parties. It'll be so much fun. All of a sudden, the servant comes in. Hey, Tadus, it's mail. The mail came. Looks like he got a very important letter over here. Oh, Tadus says, yeah, that's a nice letter. It looks very important. It's fancy, schmancy letters all over it. And Tadus opens the letter. And it says, dear Tadus, in Krakow, which is another city in Poland, it's going to be a big meeting of all the most important big shot galachim. And only the most important big shots are invited to this meeting. And Tadus is invited. It's going to be a very important meeting that you have to sleep overnight in a fancy schmancy hotel, and you have to make special dinner parties and all this kind of thing. And Tadus is invited to go to Krakow to this meeting. And so Tadus said, oh, a meeting of all the most important big shots, and I get to go. Okay. He says to the servant, pack my bags, I'm going. But then all of a sudden, Tadus thinks to himself, wait a minute, what about Razel? Well, who's going to take care of her? And the servant says, well, I'll take care of her. I'll take care of the church. But Tadus says, you know, things are going a little bit too easy over here. And I suspect that that rabbi, the Maharal, that rabbi of the Jews, might do something to get this girl back, because I know that rabbi will not let a Jewish girl to be locked up in my church. He's going to be so upset. And for sure, Razel's parents probably went to speak to him. So I suspect that there might be trouble. And he grabbed the servant by the shirt, and he pushed him up against the wall, like a shmata, like a bag of potatoes, and he says, "You are responsible. If anything happens to that girl, you are responsible, and I will have your head. Do you understand that?" And he throws him against the wall, like a shmata, like a bag of potatoes. And the servant says, "Okay, Tadas, I'll be responsible. I won't let anything happen. Remember, Tadas," and he points his finger at the servant, at his nose. "You take care and nothing better happen, or else you're finished. You understand that?" "Yes, Tadas. Yes, Tadas. Yes, Tadas." And Tadas took his suitcases and he went off to the meeting of the big shots. And now we go back to the house of the Maharal. That night, the Maharal called in the Goylem, Yossel the Goylem, and he said, "Tonight you're going into the Green Church to save Razel and bring her out. And this is what you're going to need. First, you're going to take this very big bag. Then you're going to take a letter that I'm going to write." And the Maharal sat down and he wrote a letter, which you're going to hear later what he wrote. And he put it in an envelope. And he gave the Goylem a necklace. Now with this necklace, it looked kind of like a mezuzah hanging on a necklace. The Maharal had written down special words on a parchment. It looked like a mezuzah rolled up. And anybody who wears this necklace, it's called Roya Ve'eno Nire. He could see, but nobody could see him. He becomes invisible. As soon as you put on the necklace, you're still there, and you can see everything around you, but nobody could see you. You become invisible. You disappear, and nobody could see that you're there. But of course you are there. It also seems that if you want, whatever you're holding also disappears. And it also seems that you can make what you're holding appear, and you can still disappear, as you're going to see as the story goes on. And the Goylem took the bag, and he took the letter, and he took the necklace. He didn't put it on right away. And he walked out of the Maharal's house late at night. And he walked out of the Jewish neighborhood into the Goyish neighborhood. And he walked down the street all the way to the big green church. And over there at nighttime, there were guards that were standing by the entrance of the church. Now these guards were put there by the servant because he was afraid that anything should not happen to Razel. And at nighttime, he made guards by the church's door. And now the Goylem put on the necklace and he disappeared. And he waited for the door to open, that one of the Golachim would leave the church, or somebody would come into the church and the guards would open the door. And he stood right by the door. The guards didn't see him. He was standing right next to them. He waited for the door to open, and as soon as the door opened, he went inside the church. And he walked up to the fifth floor, past all the getchkalach and past people. Nobody saw him. And he got up there just at the time that Razel was going to sleep. She was up in her room, and the servant was standing up there himself to make sure nothing would happen to her. And the servant stood outside the door himself and make sure that she went to sleep. And finally, the door was open, and the Goyim went right into the room. And he stood there inside the room, and he waited until Razel fell asleep. And now the servant saw Razel was sleeping. He knew the guards were by the door in front of the church. So the servant decided that he's going to leave and he's going to go home. His house is right next to the church. And he left, and now there was nobody there. And Razel was sleeping. Now the Maharal had a certain plan to get Razel out of the church. What happened was this. In the middle of the night, when she was sleeping, the Goyim took the letter that the Maharal had written and he placed it on her pillow right next to her head. And he pushed her shoulder. He pushed her, like tapping on the shoulder. Razel woke up. She looked around the room and she didn't see anybody because, of course, he was invisible. Who's there? Is somebody there? She didn't hear anything. She didn't see anything. She thought, I must be dreaming. And she went back to sleep. She didn't see the letter that was on her pillow. She fell back asleep, and she feels again tapping on her shoulder. She wakes up. Hey, somebody's tapping on my shoulder. Who could it be? I don't see anyone. Now this time, she looked around and she saw a letter on her pillow. Oh, look, a letter on my pillow. She looked on the envelope. It said, written in Yiddish, in Hebrew, Razel. Hey, look, somebody wrote my name in Hebrew. And on the pillow is a letter and it's to me. How did it get here? And who was that tapping on my shoulder? She took out the letter and she started to read it. And it said in Yiddish, Tayere Razele, dear Razel, ich bin dein alter Zedi, I'm your great-grandfather. Ich bin gekommen von Gan Eden, I came from Gan Eden, zu retten dir von die schlechte Platz, to save you from this terrible place. Come with me, and we'll get out before it's too late, and we'll go home. And all of a sudden she looked around and she saw a big bag in the middle of the air. Now the Goyim was making the bag, that you could see the bag, but you couldn't see him. The end of the letter said, climb into the bag, and I'll take you out of the church and you'll be safe. All of a sudden Razel said, oi, it must be the neshama of my great-grandfather came from Gan Eden. Who else could it be? Because there's a bag in the middle of the air, and it's there by itself. He must have written this letter to me, and he wants to save me from this place. Yes, I want to get out of here. Yes, I'll climb into the bag. And Razel climbed into the bag, and the Goyim put the bag on his shoulder. And he walked down the hall, down the stairs, down the five flights of stairs. And as he was holding the bag, it was disappeared. You couldn't see it. And it disappeared along with him. He waited by the guards until they opened the door for some galach to leave the church. And he went right out. And he took Razel all the way home in the bag. And as soon as Razel got home, it was in the middle of the night. Her parents were up. They were waiting every night because they knew the Maharal had said that sometime she's going to come home. And all of a sudden, they heard a knock on the door. And they see Razel. Razel! Razel! And they had a big cushy and a big hug. And they were crying. But they knew that the Maharal said, as soon as Razel gets home, they have to go to the friend who's got the wagon waiting. And she's got to get out as soon as possible to a far, far away place. And they got Razel into the wagon, and she went in the middle of the night, starting on her long, long trip to Amsterdam, to her uncle, Reb Michel Berger. And over there is where she lived. She didn't live at home anymore because the Maharal had said. Now, Kinalak, the story is only beginning. And the next morning, the servant went to Razel's room to see how she's doing, to make sure that everything is all right, and to give her breakfast. And all of a sudden, the servant goes into the room. Razel, Razel, good morning. I'm going to get breakfast for you. And he sees that her bed is empty, and her room is empty. At first, he got very afraid, and he started to shake. Oh no, oh no, something has happened to Razel. How could it be? Then he thought, maybe she took a walk in the garden. And, you know, she's around the church somewhere, and I'll just take a look around. He went out in the garden. Razel, where are you? Razel, breakfast time. Nobody answered her. He ran around the whole church. And maybe she's davening to the Getchkes. And he went into the Getchka part of the church, and she's not there. And he got afraid. Oh, no. Tadis is coming back today from the meeting of the big shots in Krakow. And if he finds Razel gone, he's going to hold me responsible. He's going to punish me. Oh, no. I gotta think of something quick to save my neck from a Tadis. Oh, no. What am I going to do? He's going to blame me. All of a sudden, he got an idea. Behind the church was a graveyard, a Beis HaKfarais. He ran out to the Beis HaKfarais, and he went over to one of the graves that was near the bushes that nobody could see that what he was doing, and he dug up a grave of a person that had died, and he took out the dead person from the grave. And without anybody knowing, he wrapped up the dead person and put him in some kind of a big bag. And he very quickly carried that bag and that dead person that he dug up from the graveyard. And he carried it up to the fifth floor. And he put the body in Razel's bed. And then he took matches and he set fire to the bed. And he set fire to the curtains of the room, and he ran out as fast as he could. And since it was still the morning, nobody saw what he was doing. And he ran home, and he got home, and he was all verschwitzt, and he was all afraid. And he just waited. And then he hears screaming, people are screaming, "Fire! Fire! There's a big fire on the top of the church on the fifth floor! Call the fireman!" And somebody goes running out of the church to call the fireman, to call the fire department. And in those days, the fire department came in a wagon with horses, and it took them a while to get there. And the firemen came with the horses and the fire trucks, pulled by the wagons, and they bring the water, and until they get up to the fifth floor to start splashing it on, a big, big part of the fifth floor burned. And finally, some of the firemen went into that room that was the center of the fire, and they came out, and their faces were very, very upset. Oh, somebody died in the fire. Somebody must have been asleep in a bed. All we found was burnt up bones. And people that were in the church, they said, oh, it must be that poor girl Razel. She was asleep this morning, and maybe her candle fell over and started a fire, and she got burned up in her bed. And the Galachim in the church started saying, oh, poor girl. The Jewish girl that was going to become a goy, she got burned up in her bed. Oh, that's terrible. And just at this time, there was a big crowd in front of the church. They just found out what had happened, and they were all upset. And all of a sudden, coming down the street, was a fancy schmancy wagon, and in that wagon was Tadus. He was coming back from the meeting of all the big shot Galachim in Krakow. And he was feeling himself so good and so proud of himself, how he went to that meeting and he was treated so important. And he started thinking about now when he comes back to his church, he's got a Jewish girl locked up there. He's going to make a goy out of her, chas v'shalom. And she's going to get married to this son, this duke's son. And it's going to be such a nice party. He can hardly wait. And as he's thinking all these thoughts, all of a sudden he sees a big crowd of people in front of the church. And he sees fire trucks. He says, what's going on over here? What happened? And he sees the fifth floor is all black and there's still smoke coming out. Oh, wait a minute. The fifth floor? That's where Reza lives. What's going on over here? Something is very wrong. And that's when Tadus came back to the church. And he comes in. And the firemen say to Tadus, we're very, very sorry that you've had a fire today. It seems that the girl that everybody is talking about, a girl that lived on the fifth floor, it seems that early in the morning, when she was sleeping in her bed, something happened to make the fire. Maybe the candle burned down all the way and spilled over, and the hot wax started a fire, or something else, because we found in the bed only burned up bones, and that girl died. And Tadus walks over to the servant who was standing there, and the servant looked very, very nervous. And Tadus says, where is the girl? And the servant says, you heard that the fireman say that the girl died. It was only bones. Burned up bones. And Tadu says, I heard what the fireman said. And he takes the servant by the neck like a chicken. And he pushes him against the wall. And he says, where is the girl? What happened to her? And the servant says, yeah, I just told you. They only found the bones. And Tadu says, I don't believe it. Something over here is fishy. The girl probably disappeared. Because while I was away, you didn't watch her like you should have. And that sneaky rabbi of the Jews, the Maharal, he probably did some trick. And because you're not smart enough to watch out for his trick, somehow they got the girl out, and you make some kind of a trick on me. And the servant is sweating and shaking. No, Tadus. No. I didn't do no trick. And Tadus takes him like a bag of potatoes, and he starts to push him against the wall. I'll get you for this. I'll get you back for this. And Tadus leaves, and he goes back to his room, and the servant goes back to his house. Now, Kindalach, what happened to Reizel? Let's see what happened to Reizel. This is a very long story. Reizel went in the wagon the whole night, far, far away to a different country, out of Prague, down the road, over the bridges, over the mountains, past the fields, far, far away to Amsterdam, which is a city in Holland. Holland is a faraway place. And over there, Reizel started to live with her uncle, Reb Michel Berger, and he had a wine store in Amsterdam. And she lived with the family, and she learned in yeshiva there. And she had friends, and she went to shul, and she did mitzvahs of Avos Yisrael and all the nice things that a nice Yiddish girl does. And Kinelach, back at the Goy's house, the Duke, if you remember the Duke who lived in the castle, the big castle, and the Duke's son was the one that had wanted to marry Razel. And he had given her the ring with the diamond and the letters on it, the gold ring, if you remember. Well, that afternoon, somebody came to the castle. A visitor came to the castle, and the Duke let him in, and they were talking. And the boy also was there by the table with a visitor. And the Duke says, "What's new in Prague? What's new in the city?" Oh, the visitor says, "This morning there was a very big fire in Prague. There was many people there, and all the fire wagons came. Such a big fire. You know where it was? In Tadas's church, the big green church. And you know what burned up? The fifth floor. And everybody was saying, somebody died in the fire." The Duke says, "Somebody died?" And the boy says, "Who died in the fire?" Oh, the visitor says, "They say there was a girl who lived up there, a Jewish girl who was up in the fifth floor. She had a room, and she was going to become a part of the church. She was going to become a goy and go to the church. And they say she was sleeping in the fire, and all they found was burned up bones." And when the Duke's son heard this, he says, "What? Did they say what her name was?" "Yeah, they say her name was like Razel. Yeah, Razel, that's her name, Razel." "Oh, no. Oh, no." And the Duke's son went out of the room, and he was so upset because this is the girl he was supposed to marry. And now she's dead in a fire, burned up bones. Oy. What's he going to do? He was so sad. And the Duke went out of the room, and he goes to his son. He says, "Ah, forget it. Anyway, it's a Jew. You'll find some better. You'll find a nice girl who's not Jewish, a nice goy, rich, and you'll marry her. So, forget about it. You'll find somebody better to marry." "Oh, no," the Duke's son says. "I liked her. She was different. I don't like all those goyish girls what I have to meet and you bring over. Do you want to marry this one? Do you want to marry that one? Ah, who needs them? I didn't like them anyway in the first place. Not even one. They were always, I didn't like them. This is the first girl. She was nice. She wasn't a big show-off. She wasn't all spoiled like all of the other ones were. She was nice. She spoke nice. No, this is a nice girl. I can't forget about her so fast." The Duke says, "Didn't you hear? She's burned up bones. You better start forgetting. That's it. Burned up bones. Finished." "Oh, I can't forget. I can't. You know what? Daddy, find me another Jewish girl. Maybe then I'll be happy." "A Jewish girl? No, no, no. You wouldn't marry no Jewish girl. I wouldn't let you. I wouldn't let you. This is a Jewish girl. She was going to become a goy. Then I would let you." "No, there was something special about that girl. I can't forget her." And the son of the Duke was going around sad the whole time. He wouldn't eat. He couldn't sleep hardly. He would just go around the house holding his head, going back and forth saying, "I can't forget, I can't forget." And the father would try to give him some food. "Ah, I don't want to eat nothing." He'd say, "Go to sleep, I can't sleep." And the boy became very sick. He became very, very tired and very sick and very skinny. And nothing would help. The father said, "I'll give you money. You go out and spend money. Ah, I don't want any money. I'm not interested." I'll send you on a vacation somewhere. Oh, I'm not interested. I can't forget about Razel. And the boy went to his room and he starts to think, oh, why can't I marry a Jewish girl? Like Razel. I'll go ask my father. Look, he says, why can't I marry a Jewish girl? Oh, the father says, not only I would kill you if you married a Jewish girl, the Jews wouldn't let. Because a Jew is only allowed to marry a Jew, not a goy. So they wouldn't let you, and I wouldn't let you, so you're finished. And the boy says, well, isn't there any way I can marry a Jewish girl? The father says, the only way you could marry a Jewish girl, if you became a Jew, but if you became a Jew, you would be finished. Because I would kill you. I wouldn't have my son to become a Jew. That's the worst thing for a duke like me, an important, rich duke who lives in a castle. My son should become a Jew? No, never. Never in a million years. And the boy went to his room and he starts to think, what are these Jews anyway? First of all, why my father doesn't like them so much? What's wrong? Razel was a Jew. What's wrong? She was different than all the girls that's not Jewish. She was nicer than them. So what's wrong with a Jew? Now, what is a Jew anyway? What is it? It's a person, a nice person. So what is so wrong? I don't understand. I don't even know what they are, Jews. Maybe I'm going to go find out what Jews are. Then I'll understand.